Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
Donald Trump was a stain on our country.
I'm someone's daughter, too.
That's what I'm talking about.
So help me God. Congratulations, Mr. President.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. Happy Tuesday. I feel like I haven't talked to you guys in so long.
Well, you know, it's always a pleasure, Amanda.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. And also, always a pleasure. Time is moving so weird because it feels like forever has happened, but then it feels like time is moving fast. It's like weird.
April's almost over.
April's almost over.
I feel like I don't remember the winter.
Like, oh, it's really? Just I remember it. I feel it. I feel it every day.
See, I feel like it's just blank for me. Blankness for me.
It blended and blanked, but I remember during the winter, I'm like, whoa, this is fucking hard.
Well, the winter I was like very fucked up and I remember feeling like I was in like a time loop, like every day just felt the same. And
like Groundhog Day?
Yeah, like it really felt like Groundhog Day. But now I like can't connect with my memories of that time at all. It's like a blank. It's like,
I can't either, but I think it has something to do with festivities related to today, which is 420.
That's also true. It is 420.
It's 420. I spent my winter just in a cloud.
I do have a personal plug for the top of the episode.
Yes,
I have two
I'm
personal
excited
plugs.
For this.
Number one is 420
marijuana,
related, which is that at 420 p.m. Well, number one, yes, a personal plug for me is legalized weed. Number two, that's just a personal
always,
plug.
Always.
I'm just gonna plug cannabis as a concept in general.
Yeah. Number two is that at 4:20 p.m. today on 4:20, I have a tradition of going on Instagram Live and telling the story of how one time I was smoking weed and I accidentally pepper sprayed myself in the face. So if you have any interest in hearing like how that could happen to someone,
how do you iterate this story year to year?
Sometimes this year I'm actually trying a new thing where people know going into it that
people
I pepper
have a
spray
whole
my
new
face.
Context for pepper spray. I feel like since 4:20,
I feel like too, every year you get a new audience.
Yeah. Every year I bring more people together to hear this really, you know, I think most holidays have like a story behind them that people gather to tell. And I think that for 4:20, people should gather and tell the story about how I accidentally did pepper spray myself in the face.
Can I be honest, Elise? It's not my favorite story, weed story. You know what my favorite weed story is of yours?
I think that I do know, but you can say it now because it is the high holiday.
Yeah, when you got kicked out or when you got your weed confiscated from the Harry Potter Broadway show.
Oh, yes.
I did. And I was actually with sub-host Brian Russell Smith
this was
during
like
that
right
time.
Before I started. And I remember like, I was like, okay, this job looks cool. Let me listen to this podcast. And then it was Elise and Brian telling this tale. And I was like, oh shit, I got to go there.
Yeah.
You're like, I have to quit. And then it's like, no, too late.
No, that made me apply.
I'm kidding.
It was fun. And they did ultimately let me go in to see the play. So no harm, no foul. I lost a little bit of nug that day, but that was kind of my bad for just having it sort of loosely floating in my purse.
I think we do need to remember today in the Holy Hyde holiday, all the nugs that we have lost. One time I went to Philadelphia for, because my friend got me into an Angels and Airwaves concert for free because he's the bassist of Angels and Airwaves.
Oh,
and
yeah, so I last minute went to Philly, like on some groupie shit, went to Philly from New York, round trip, got so fucked up, and then left a nug and like my grinder and like my one hitter on the mega bus. And I was so sad because whatever, right? They're all replaceable. The my grinder was 10 bucks. My, oh, you know, whatever. But you know,
but that's a real bummer.
It's a bummer.
I had a grinder confiscated going into Bonnaroo once, and I think just messed up. It was empty too, empty. And the guy was like,
Elise, it sounds like you've just generally been over policed.
Yeah, I have a lot of misadventures. I actually do think it's probably proportional to the amount that I engage in this particular activity. But yeah, I was going into Bonnaroo and my grinder was empty. And this guy, security guy, like to go into the center room, which is where like all the concerts actually happen. He took it out of my purse and he was like, I remember him. He was like, are you serious? Are you serious right now? And I was like, are you serious, my dude? I'm going to go into Bonnaroo. You're holding an empty grinder. Is this the, is this what we really need to be doing right now? Like, I was confused.
I know, but it's also like, it's still Tennessee.
I know. Right? And that's what I realized in that moment is I said, ah, this guy is actually just a police officer from Tennessee.
Yeah. So, Jesus Christ.
I gave him the, he took the grinder.
I feel like I'm obligated to tell mine now, which is just even precedes it entirely.
How you lost your virginity? Oh, sorry.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We're heightening the stakes. We're heightening it. Where I was already had partaken and then went to get cash to get more. And then just like, I got the cash and I just left it there. I didn't take it.
Oh no.
You left the weed at the guy's house?
No, I left the cash in the ATM.
Oh my God.
Not yelling it because I don't think I ever told my fiance that. And he's like, it's okay. You know what? I sacrificed $100 to somebody.
Oh, fuck. That's, oh, damn. One time I tried to.
That sucks.
Pay like the 16-year-old that sells weed in my neighbor in my friend's neighborhood. We were all high, but it was Florida, so they sell Nick bags. So it's like $5 worth of weed. So obviously we took half a hit each and we're like, okay. And then we're like, we still want weed. And then we like kind of broke into my friend's little brother's piggy bank.
Oh my God. Then,
and got a bunch of like
stole from quarters, children.
Quarters and shit. He was like 15. And like tried to pay we paid the weed guy in quarters and he was upset. And he's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with all this change? And we're like, look, I was like, look, you're gonna build a time machine. Cause in Florida for a long time they had 39-cent cheeseburger Wednesdays and 25-cent on like Wednesdays and Sundays at McDonald's. So it's like, you're going to build a time
That's
machine.
Amazing.
You're going to go back 2 days to Sunday and get a burger.
And then he did. And then he did.
No, this kind of brings me into my next personal plug, which is that if anyone has any interest in hearing more of Millie's antics growing up in Hollywood, Florida, I did just release today an episode of my other podcast, The Roast of Your Teenage Self, with none other than Miss Millie Chamarez. And we talk all about many antics.
Yes. I will say antics is the best way. Shenanigans, I feel like it's too innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Antics is the appropriate word.
It's antics. For what's,
it's antics, yes. Thank
so
you.
If you have interest in listening to that, you can get it everywhere that pods are casted.
I will
baby.
Be listening to it as soon as we're done here. And Elise, your handle is at Pandalise. If you're not following, follow her now because then you'll get the alert. Don't like think you're going to remember at 4:30. Just do it now. Get the alert.
Exactly.
For the 420.
Hear the tales. Hear the tales. So I guess we'll stay on theme here and talk about some 420 themed legislation because it's been in the news in recent months because our Democratic president and Senate et al. So let's run through some of the stuff making its way through the federal government to hopefully decriminalize what is literally a plant, an herb. I realize I've been using that, excuse. I'm like, it's a plant. But it's like, yeah, but like Amanda, also like heroin's a plant too. So if I'm going to take
it, I didn't know that.
If we want, I think so. No, heroin is a cocaine.
Opium, because it's a plant.
Opium's
comes from
a
the
plant.
Poppy. poppy to opium to
but
heroin.
Then I realized, you know what? That's not how I feel. I think maybe decriminalize all of it. But I guess, yeah, if I'm going to rely on the facts. So now I'm calling it an herb. See if that sticks. But yesterday, that feels more, less
like
hypocritical.
Dill. Yeah, like dill, like a dill.
It's like dill. Cilantro, obviously. Yesterday, the House passed a cannabis banking bill. This would allow banks to provide services to cannabis companies in states where it's legal. This passed with huge bipartisan support, which is we never see. It passed about 321 to 100. This has been a huge barrier to creating an even more profitable cannabis industry. There's not a lot of institutions, even at the state level, that are willing to deal with cannabis businesses. So a lot of them have to deal exclusively with cash, which is very dangerous, very vulnerable to theft. You have to pay so much in security. You have to pay so much in accounting. It's not ideal for a business that is considered legitimate in, I think currently 40% of Americans live somewhere where it is legal. So this bill basically clarifies that proceeds from legitimate cannabis businesses would not be considered illegal, basically giving banks a green light to go ahead and bank them. And it also basically tells federal regulators how to figure out how to make this work. Like, it's time. These banks shouldn't be scared to work with these legitimate businesses. But obviously in the background, blanket federal legalization would be an excellent solution here. Chuck Schumer, who has been kind of the lead on this, actually said in an interview yesterday that he's excited about the banking bill, but that he's a little bit nervous that he would rather just handle this in a bigger way rather than pass this now and potentially slow down that effort. Speaking of Chuck Schumer, what do Elise Morales and Chuck Schumer have in common? They cannot stop talking about weed.
I was going to say, they both have their glasses at the bridge of their nose.
Damn, that's a burn on me.
No, it's cute. It's endearing. It's endearing.
They're both a little bit scared of AOC.
Yes. You know,
we're all a little bit scared of AOC. That's why it's so fun and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So he has been all about this. And I think if we do get legal weed, it's because of AOC, not only because she's a champion of it, but she sort of in the background said, I'm not going to primary him. I'm not going to rule that out if I'm not happy with how things are going. And obviously everyone loves her. So she sort of seems to have moved him on a lot of issues. And this is a big one. So he has said repeatedly that he's going to try to advance legislation legalizing marijuana use for adults. This is despite objections from Joe Biden, who says he still opposes legislation. Kamala Harris has supported it in the past. But when Schumer has been asked if he'd move forward, since he is majority leader without Biden's support, he said, quote, I want to make my arguments to him as many other advocates will, but at some point we're going to move forward, period. I cannot imagine a situation where this is where Biden would pull a veto. But there's currently legislation. Senators are working on this with Ron Wyden and Cory Booker on a wide range. And I think it's something that we see sort of pop up every now and then in the House since we've had it, but mostly symbolically, but with the same potential that there is for everything where we're close to a 50-50 majority or where there may be some bipartisan support. This seems like something that could actually have momentum.
Yeah, especially like, I feel like a lot of Republicans, want to legalize weed. Like, I don't know about Republican fucking politicians, but Republican people want to legalize
55%.
Weed.
55%.
Exactly. Can we make sure that Joe Manchin smokes weed and likes it before this vote comes up so that we don't have any fucking
seriously.
Stuff with it? Someone in West Virginia, please.
I think somebody that listens to the podcast like knows him. Get it, make
smoke
it happen.
Him out, but do it good. Bring him all the snacks. Have it be watch a funny movie or something. Then like tuck him into a blanket and put him to bed so he has a great experience.
I feel like Kirsten Sinema.
She's a stoner for sure.
She smokes weed, but she doesn't want anyone else to.
Yeah. She doesn't want anyone else to do anything she does is my sense.
Yeah, so I think she might be. So maybe we should give her a bad experience. So then, like, give her some really strong edibles. Tell her it's just regular brownies. And then she's like, "This is terrible. I want everyone to experience this. Let's legalize it."
Yeah, and then, she'll do her cute little no thanks.
No, let's legalize. Yeah.
I can see Kirsten Sinema being like, "I am a radically straight edge." Like, also though.
Oh my totally. God. She's like, "We can legalize it, but only dab."
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Ew. of course. I mean, honestly, though, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to be vulnerable here and like just talk about some traumas that I've had recently. And one of them is the trauma of seeing her wearing a purple newsboy cap on Twitter.
Absolutely. With the fuck off ring.
But it had a pinstripes on it.
With the fuck off ring. Yeah.
With the fuck off ring. It was like a magenta pinstriped Kangol, like newsboy cap, right? Or what is it? Like a golf? I don't know. That hurt me.
Yeah, that was tough. I think that Gen X is going to have to answer for Kyrsten Sinema at some point.
I feel like Kyrsten Sinema is like what Gen Z, it proves them right. All of their TikToks roasting us. It's like they think we're all like,
no, she's Gen X. Don't do this, Amanda. Take it back.
I Googled it.
I am so sorry.
No.
I take it back. I retract it.
Generation X is responsible for Kyrsten Sinema. They have to answer for the hat. They have to answer for her powerful theater tech energy that she has going on.
Theater tech. That's a great, just like antics, just amazing. Mm-hmm. I will say this, right? Joe, go back to your earlier point about Joe Biden. Like, yeah. I agree with this, is like, he's very much in the good and the bad, right? We want, like, I wanted somebody more progressive or whatever, but Joe Biden's the weather vane. He will do what everybody else is doing. Mm-hmm. So he's not a dick like Trump is, where even if Trump, well, but honestly though, Trump disagreed with something, but all the other Republicans did. I think he tried to, like, in terms of policy, he would just do whatever they did. But I think Biden too, like, maybe he opposes it himself, but he's more willing to listen. And like, I don't think that's a huge barrier of anything.
Yeah, right. I don't think he has a strong feeling about marijuana. I just think that he is old.
Right. Yeah. I think that's exactly it. Like you said, Millie, like a lot of these sort of, I feel like we're approaching his 100 days. And I feel like putting it as like a weather vane is a perfect way to put it, because he doesn't really, he lets the wind sort of blow him, but he's not the wind. He like sort of lets, like, why would he bother being super vocal on some of these issues that the Senate and Congress is dealing with anyway? Like, Jen Psaki every day is like, ask Congress. That's up to Congress. We know there is only like limited things he can do with executive action. So I think it's not the worst thing he could do to sort of stay a little bit silent. And you're right. It's like, I wish on this, because there is no good reason. He hasn't stated a good reason for being objected to it other than the sort of what old people say is that they still think it's like a gateway drug. They think it melts your brain.
At least it's been kicked out of enough places. We know it melts your brain.
Yeah, I mean, Amanda left. Did Amanda leave $100 in
it definitely melts your brain.
Yeah, but did I pepper spray myself in the face? Yes. Yeah, you know, some people have been hurt.
But
everybody it affects differently, obviously. Like, look, if you're like somebody that uses it medically and you microdose all day and it doesn't melt your brain, that is amazing. Obviously, I need to be careful when I go get cash if I partake.
Sometimes I talk to certain men and I feel like my brain is melting.
Or men like are worse for your brain than weed.
Probably. Like I'll definitely have like a dissociative state sometimes, like just an outer body experience of like, I'm not here. And also when I listen to some mixtapes, like in front of them, like if they play the mixtape in front of me, my brain melts.
Mm-hmm. This happens to you often.
And that's legal. It's illegal to listen to mixtapes and to listen to men talk. If that's legal, if the federal government isn't protecting us from that, then let us smoke a joint.
100%.
So today we're also going to follow up on the end of the Derek Chauvin trial and a little bit more on how the reaction to Maxine Waters' comments has escalated since yesterday. I wasn't sure how much attention to pay to this, but then it just became clear that attention was being paid by some. And so we must all now pay very close attention. But yesterday, Sammy and Brian, they played the particular statement raising hackles on the right. To remind you, Maxine Waters told peaceful protesters that if there was no guilty verdict, their movement would have to remain active and get more, quote, confrontational. To reiterate, this was in the context of a much longer statement. For a long time, she was like with them. She was just personally moved to go be with them at that time in Brooklyn Center with the trial going on. And I also think it's important that she said so, like, in reaction to a question. That does change the context. She wasn't just out of nowhere, like, we got to be confrontational. Like, somebody mm-hmm. asked her, what do you think? And in an interview published with The Griot yesterday morning, around when we recorded, Waters said that she obviously meant this in a nonviolent way, and that her remark about being confrontational was in regard to changing the justice system in the U.S. Still, people are making a fuss. Even the judge in the Chauvin trial yesterday suggested her comments could give the Chauvin defense something on appeal, he said, should there be a guilty verdict.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I also just thought it was very interesting. He thought guilty on appeal. I was like, is that where you think this is going? But he refused to grant a mistrial because the defense did try that. The defense did say this warrants a mistrial, with the justification being that at that point, the jury wasn't sequestered. They could have seen her comments and maybe been intimidated into thinking, well, if we don't say guilty, then the city's going to become engulfed in riots. And that would be the justification.
Yeah, as if they don't fucking know that.
Like, they fucking know that. Like, come on.
Right. They're still going. They're not sequestered yet. So they're still driving along the streets where everything is boarded up. They are aware. Like, whoever got
sensory perception.
I always think whoever got picked for this jury, it's like, I don't know, you must have been a little bit detached to have even qualified for this jury. But since then, they've been seeing what's going on. There are tanks.
Of course. And like, you know, it's like, right, okay, right. Let's say if we're doing a comparison between like the insurrection on January 6th and like, you know, and Republicans inciting insurrection and Maxine Waters saying that you guys need to get more inciting violence, right? Mm-hmm. There is no 9-minute video of Joe Biden cheating with mail-in ballots. Mm-hmm. Is there?
Mm-hmm.
There is 9-minute video of people throwing out Republican votes or cheating or anything. There's probably like an hour long fake conspiracy video, but like there is not, you know, there's no witness, like the witnesses that they've had 40 trials that said that it didn't, you know what I mean? So Republicans in, you know, saying like, we need to take our country back or all that shit, like, they're not going based on, you know, on anything. And if we're doing a comparison, taking away the power dynamics in this country of how over-policed Black and brown people are at whatever, right? Let's say, for example, whatever, like, they really believe that there was cheating or something. Like, since there have been 319 people killed by police this year so far, right? There's only been 3 days this year that people have not been killed by police. If we're doing like a comparison, that would be if every single local runoff, every election since November 3rd or something has been instances of cheating, that there's been proof and all that stuff. Honey, there have been Trump-appointed attorneys. I mean, mm-hmm. Trump-appointed like judges that say that there's no case, and there are 60 fucking cases, you know, 60 of them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? All the there are no witnesses. Everybody who works, Republican people are suing Trump. Like it's just like, you can't compare it. And especially when you add in like the racial dynamics of this country. So that's,
well, yeah, I agree 100%. And I think it's also like, if we're looking at this question of, you know, because obviously what they're trying to do is compare Maxine Waters saying this to Trump inciting violence on January 6th. It's pretty obvious that that's kind of the tack that they're taking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, did the group of people Maxine was talking to immediately turn around and have a violent confrontation with police? No. Then she didn't incite violence. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump said, we're going to march down to the Capitol, and then a giant mob marched to the Capitol and broke inside. So like, it was literally a one-to-one immediate reaction to his words. I mean, we can also talk about the run-up that incited that violence, which was mm-hmm. also long, but like, literally we watched violence be incited. Maxine Waters made these comments, and all these people are saying that, oh, maybe someone might do violence as a result, but actually that hasn't happened. Protests were already happening in that area before she got there. And it's not like this group immediately flipped out and went and like lit a police car on fire as soon as she said that.
Right. Also, they're moving to Kevin, House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy might move to censure her tomorrow. It's also, I mean, they also did not vote to impeach Donald Trump. So they said that this was fine.
Exactly.
So, and then they're coming and saying when Maxine Waters, in their view, does it. And yeah, the way you both put it, it's like if you look at, obviously both things need to be in, whenever we're talking about what somebody says, we say, of course, we'll put it in context. Okay, when you put Trump's in context, it's everything leading up confirming that that was an incitement to violence. When you look at what Maxine Waters says in the context, everything around it confirms it was not.
So, and in the case, in the impeachment trial case, Trump, like, it was literally showing the protesters saying, like, Trump says keep going, Trump telling us to go away, Trump, you know, so we're stopped, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I'm here on behalf of your boss or whatever. Like, they're saying all of that shit, whereas, like, literally find one video of someone, like, yelling at a cop and being like, I'm here for Maxine. Like, it's like, that's not happening. No one's doing that.
So. Maxine Waters is a California rep. She's not even like a, you know, in Minnesota, Minneapolis. So
it's also, we should point out the particular grossness of them choosing a black woman to be the face of this. Like, of which is, like, I mean, it's just almost like, of course they're doing that.
The policing of things that black women say compared to what everybody else is allowed to say.
Get confrontational. That's the words that are causing all this, is that she said to get confrontational, which is actually like, there's a long history in the civil rights movement of talking about nonviolent forms of confrontation and stuff. Like, she's obviously using that language, but whatever.
And it was that movement that gave that new dimension to the word confrontational.
Yes.
And also, like, confrontation can be like urging people to stop, you know, like sponsors, and like urging people to stop like funding, or, you know, like advertising on Fox. Like, that's confrontation. And then
going to a town hall and asking an aggressive question is a
who
confrontation.
Who are these people that don't think that's confrontational? I could barely get on the fucking phone. That's confrontational. To me, sitting somewhere with a sign is confrontational.
Yeah,
that's, of course, that's all she meant. Who's just like, that's chill.
Yeah. I have to keep in mind, and like whatever, and everybody has to keep in mind that Republicans are divided with financial issues, right? Like, they don't, you know, like lower income Republicans want to raise taxes. Lower income Republicans want some kind of government health care. Lower, you know, the only thing that unites them is these moral issues, like trans. So that's why they make up shit like trans kids in sports and like this, you know, Maxine Waters and like racism shit, because at its core, you know, Republicans probably lean socialist with a lot of the financial stuff, but they don't have the same whatever more. So they keep making up these things, because that's the only way anybody will vote for GOP. Honestly, you know, they can't get the poor like Trump people to vote for not taxing government corporations or not investing in roads and bridges. Like,
right. Well, there's there's an anti-trans bill going through Texas, right? Because Greg Abbott's scared of Matthew McConaughey.
Exactly.
Please, if you are listening to be in governor. Texas, please support Matthew McConaughey for governor.
If support a Democrat that's like better.
But is he not is he not running as a Democrat?
I think he's like centrist or something, right?
He said, like, something recently that was like, we need to be more accommodating of centrism. But in the context of how he said it, it was pretty Republican. I promise.
Yeah, he's pretty fucking Republican, I think.
He said it at a time where it was like, there is no centrist belief when it comes to like racism.
Yeah, that's exactly. Not great. Maybe not, he's great. Like Joe Manchin-y. It would still be better than Greg Abbott, but by how much?
Yeah, exactly.
Texans deserve a little
so
bit
better.
So
I take back what I said 30 seconds ago. Look into Matthew McConaughey, and if he's good on the issues, then support him.
What are all these people that fled California and all these people that moved to Texas going to turn that fucking state blue?
Exactly.
Soon.
More of them. It's got to be soon. It's coming. I know it is.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life. And of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
So before we wrap up, there is another story of over-policing we're watching this morning. This is one of those periods where it's like, are they happening at a higher cadence, these shocking somehow still and upsetting events? Are we in a period where everyone's really reacting to them appropriately, so they're surfacing more? I'm not sure, but a video went viral yesterday that shows a group of police in Perth Amboy, New Jersey. I hope I'm saying that right. Mm-hmm. Just harassing a group of Black teenagers who were riding their bikes. They're just riding their bikes because this, oh my God, this story. Apparently this town has a law that requires bicycles wear a license tag. How do you get a license tag? You have to ask the fucking police. You have to ask the chief of police. You have to apply for a license tag. And then when you get it, you have to wear it on your bike. And you have to pay 50 cents for it. But these teens were not from this town. They were riding their bike from a very a nearby town. So like I said, about six officers approached them, confronted them about where the tags were, took one of the bikes, and ultimately arrested one of the teens because the teen was trying to understand his rights and what laws he had violated. And they just decided that was a detainable offense.
In that scenario, if a cop came up to me and was like, where's your bike license? I'd be like, I would have gotten
madder than even he did, for what he was taken in for. And like Millie said, I guess these were auxiliary police. There's additional video showing one of the officers after trying to justify what happened. And she's just like, it's just bullshit. She's just like, I'm just trying to keep you safe. I wish keep I didn't have to waste my time doing this. I have better things to do. And I can keep your bike if I want to.
No, you don't. Like, honestly, and from my understanding of the news story, it was literally like, I mean, these towns in New Jersey, it's not like there's a town in the middle and nothing, and then another town and nothing. It's like you cross the street and you're in a different town.
Right.
So I think like they're coming from a bigger city town thing, and they went to another town, and in that town, in Perth Amboy, you need a license. In Edison, you don't, because who fucking cares? But they like followed them into them. That, exactly.
We were talking about weed, and it's like, you know, that's a thing that when you're traveling from state to state or town to town, you kind of want to be aware of and generally, but like, because you know, there are differences and there can be consequences. Nobody's riding their bike. Are people riding their bike around thinking, I better check and make sure that I don't need a license tag in this? It just frankly seems like something that is, okay, I would say it seems designed like to raise money for the town, right? But 50 cents per bike, it seems strictly—
No, they do it at a loss. No, it's to police because they say it's because so nobody has a stolen bike or whatever. But like, it's not like
off.
A car tag. Like, you don't, you know what I mean? You don't think to register your fucking bike. And then honestly, like, I mean, you know, getting a bike stolen sucks, but I don't think it just fucking warrants this level of, if somebody stole your bike, like, and the cops track them, you know what I mean? Like, you even want your bike back at that? It's just these people are, it's just making.
First of all, I also bet if you get your bike stolen, the cops, they are like, laugh sorry, at you. We can't help you.
Like, even though they should be able to find it, what else are they doing?
Well,
this woman's apparently so busy. She has so many other things to do. It's like, get to doing them then. I shouldn't be doing this. Okay,
well, that's the thing. Then go do it. That is like the point of, like, I guess defund or reform the police. It doesn't mean, then don't let this occupy your time. This is not necessary. This helps nobody. Did she just target them because she thought, oh, they don't have licenses, so these are more likely to be stolen bikes, or just stop them because, like, they stop everybody? I mean, maybe, because they have nothing to do.
Also, are you aware of 5 stolen bicycles? Isn't that something that you would know had happened if someone stole 5 bicycles?
If, like, somebody didn't report 5 stolen bicycles, they don't miss them.
Well, and also, too, I mean, I just got to go back to thinking, like, these white kids, like, are doing mass shoot, like, killing people in banks and grocery stores and in places of work and stuff. And, like, people will warn the cops about, and they don't do shit.
Yeah, we've, like, seen that in Indianapolis. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, we have a follow-up from yesterday's podcast on Indianapolis, that yesterday we weren't sure what went wrong and why this case was never brought. And it turns out, Elise wrote in the newsletter, that the prosecutors basically decided not to move forward because they decided that if they lost the case to the judge, that this young man would get his gun back. So they decided they'd rather not pursue it. But that just makes no, if there's no barrier to him getting another gun, then it's completely useless.
Yeah, it's kind of like, when I was reading their reasoning, it just further showed how fucked up the system is, because, like, yeah, this red flag law is in place, but they were basically saying that, like, constraints that exist on, like, how to show evidence and all of this stuff made it so it's basically impossible for them to turn around a good case in the short amount of time that they're allowed to before a judge. And if the case fails, then he gets his gun back. So it's like they basically trap you, and they make it's the constraints on how you can put the case together are so much that, like, to put together a good case to get someone's gun taken away under the law is almost too difficult.
And they feel like if the objective is to keep a gun out of the person's hands, then it just seems in the first stage, it just seems so obvious to me that if you've determined that a person needs their gun taken away, then at that exact moment is also when you make sure they cannot get another one.
I just feel like
if anybody does a flag of, like, we don't need guns. A lot of societies don't have fucking guns. And if you want to kill animals so bad by hunting, go work in a fucking meat plant. Honestly, then there's a labor shortage, right? But, right, whatever. If anybody raises any flags about fucking, like, gun ownership, they need to never have a gun again. Like, pretty much.
Look at this guy. These people get their guns back, but those kids don't get their bikes back.
Exactly. Like, if you do one, there were so many three strikes laws. There's so many shit keeping Black people in jail. There's so much shit, you know, and then we can't find a solution to getting guns out of dangerous people's hands. And I mean, just going back to, like, I mean, you know, I tweeted this, but it's just like, how is there no campaign, like a national campaign about people contemplating gun violence, like just, I don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I do feel like we grew up kind of on the tail end of the era of, like, the PSA and, like, the after school special. And I feel like there should be, well, number one, there should be a national red flag law that works better than this other.
And
red
if we also
law.
Just get rid of some of these extremely deadly weapons, then we don't have to have such a, like, insane patchwork of rules about how to get them out of people's houses.
Yeah. I will disagree with you, Elise. Like, there's texting and driving PSAs all the time, I see. And
that
there's, like,
true.
Anti-smoking ones. I mean, DARE was, Truth was a really popular anti-smoking one that did reduce smoking until vapes came out. But yeah.
I mean, you know what? I think that I just thought that because I, like, don't watch a lot of commercials anymore. Like, yeah, I don't see PSAs. But also, like, I guess more like the after school special or like the very special episode of whatever, where it's like Corey and Topanga are handed a joint and then they talk about how bad weed is or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder, do kids have...
I think there's just such a reluctance to acknowledge that it is a reality and it's common and it's a possibility for a lot of kids and apparently young men, specifically white men. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't want to acknowledge that. Like, we acknowledge that kids smoke cigarettes, that they vape. We acknowledge that they want, are curious about substances, but we, and we have to like be aware of that. But it's kind of like, it's like sex ed. It's like, we don't want to acknowledge that they might have sex, but it, the, but like a way more extreme version of that. And like, I do see, like, I do understand the suspicion of like, kids are at that age are also like intrinsically like defiant. It's almost like, is there a concern that the more you show them? I remember on a recent episode, we talked about this, I think all three of us. And I mentioned, it's like, should there be like a hotline or when people can call, like, I'm thinking about doing this, or more national red flag laws. And a person that was a therapist wrote it, and she just, she wrote that it was just too much pressure to put on therapists. And I was like, I think it's pressure to put on all of us. And like, just to have some sort of outlet with them. But yeah, I think the reluctance to do that is just because we don't want to acknowledge that this is so common and this impulse arises in apparently a lot of people.
Well, also, like, you know, not to like talk too much, but like, the trans bands are like, oh, if somebody says something about their pronouns, or if somebody presents their gender in not the way that they were, like, these are the laws that Republicans are pushing, or like, you have to check their genitals to make sure that they're dressing in the way, like, the gender presentation. It's all crazy bullshit, invasive teen shit. I kind of am like, we need to be doing that about like anybody who goes on any of these incel sites, anybody who even says, anybody who has, like, anybody who has any suspicions of these teens, because of course it's all red flags and shit. Okay, like we need to be inspecting and making sure and doing like health checkups at schools and being like, hey, blah blah blah, like, are you going through any, you know what I mean? Like,
these again, are the places that want to be able to walk into wherever they want concealing their deadly weapon, yet they think that they should be able to like check children's genitals.
Exactly.
It's completely insincere.
Yeah, so it was like, yeah, why don't you check people? Why don't you check these kids' YouTube fucking searches?
Yeah,
it's, and YouTube needs to do something too.
Yeah,
totally. YouTube honestly
very much needs to do something.
YouTube honestly needs to do a campaign. Like, even if the government does it, YouTube needs to do a campaign of like, if somebody watches more than three of these videos, they need like this like anti-shooting PSA.
That's a great idea, YouTube, if you're listening.
YouTube, if you're listening.
That is our show. Thank you guys so much. After this, go listen to Roasted Your Teenage Self with Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Zuberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye.
Happy 420.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com.
Betches.